It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
I'm Kirsten Rea.
Howdy.
Howdy doody. Now, we occasionally do question-based podcasts every few weeks. You can go over to Twitter. You can use the hashtag WCGP to leave us all sorts of different thoughts and whatever you'd like us to dive into. But we have to wait until enough questions have come in for us to do a full show. So we're just going to get through them. Now, we have submitted our own questions as well, which we'll get to. I've just dropped them in throughout everything else. But first one is, whose name is Haley from Quarantine, an afternoon. What are the best nostalgic games to return to right now for a good mood boost? They plan on returning to the supremely good Rocket Power Beach Bandits immediately. I haven't heard of that, but Kirsten, we should start with you.
Ooh, it's a good question.
You're having a little bit go on Resident Evil 3, but I don't know if that's the sort of thing that would be a good mood boost.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a mood boost. It definitely is a little bit of a cheer up, but I don't know if do you know what, actually? I had went through, like, I was ordering a bunch of games through CEX recently, and I came across a classic Wii game which always made me just smile, and it's Ghost Squad. I don't know if you've ever played Ghost Squad.
Oh, that rings a bell. Ben Roy?
No, I don't know about this.
It's like an arcade game, because I remember once seeing it in an arcade, and it's basically just like an arcade shooter game. You just go through each level and try and see how far you can get. But it's a brilliant game, and each level is like really good, and like the more you like play it, you accumulate points, you unlock stuff. And I remember playing it so much that I got to a point where I had my guy in this like bright baby blue like jumpsuit, and I was killing everyone with like a little whale squirt gun, and
okay,
it was just, and like every time you got more points and you got to a different level, I was like, oh, what can I buy now, like, you know, let's see if I can get him a cool little outfit. And yeah, so if you've not played Ghost Squad on the Wii, I would highly recommend trying to get it if you can at this point in time.
But yeah, the way you'd be able to get a copy, but you could probably get a whole Wii for like 10 quid.
I would buy a Wii for that game.
Well, it's brilliant. A nice little segue from the Wii, because I played a game that originally debuted on the GameCube, also it was on the Wii. I just finished Resident Evil 4, and now that, while that might not be some people a game that like will help them relax and stuff, for me, I just jumped straight back into 10 years ago me. Actually, I haven't played that game now for 7 years, away through at least, so that was just nice to go back through there and get old Raymond Salazar and shoot a rocket launcher and be chased by a man with a bag on his head with a
chainsaw. How many copies of Resident Evil 4 do you own now?
I think we last counted and it was like 11 or something. I had it on GameCube, Wii, PS2, iPhone, 360. It came out on iPhone. You can't play it anymore though, because they've not updated it. 360, okay. Xbox One, yes, the two different versions, PS4, Switch, got on Switch, you know, for playing on the planes, although the control scheme on that is horrible. It's so hard, I thought it easy. But yeah, about 11 of them now, and whenever they release the remake, I'll have it again.
You're a slightly ill man, but very happy with the illness. It's I don't know, for me, I've just been going back to, I mean, mostly I've just been living on the Final Fantasy VII remake, but if I was going to go back to something old school, it would just be Rocket League, even though it's not that old. But I tend to just get lost in multiplayer stuff because it's, you don't have to worry about the story, you haven't got to think about themes or whatever, and so I just sort of get lost in like Rocket League pretty much every night and a couple of matches of Modern Warfare. But I guess if it's like nostalgic stuff, then I don't know, the original Final Fantasy VII, because it's something from even longer ago and the characters are just lovable. Next question. Oh, my phone's doing a thing. I don't care. I'm going to put it in the recording while I mute it. Whoever that is, I don't care. Next question from Pinky. What multiplayer games would you recommend for someone that normally plays a lot of single player content? I'm starting to think I should get into something purely for the social aspect of it all. Benoit, you play a good chunk of multiplayer. Sometimes it's not Gears of War.
So this is where I'm going to hit you with the 1-2 punch. Resident Evil 5 I've been playing through with my friends. We're getting the platinum at the moment. So if you want to play through with someone, just chat to them. Stick Resident Evil 5 on, you know, like a low difficulty. Or if you want a party atmosphere, Ultimate Chicken Horse and Gang Beasts are both great for that. Just you can play online. Like, obviously, you could do couch co-op, but we don't want to do that right now. So you can do online with your friends and just either trap them with giant saws and mechanical things, or be a Play-Doh man and just punch them in the face until they're dead.
Gang Beasts is absolutely brilliant. It's not the exact same devs, but there's a very similar thing called Totally Reliable Delivery Service that just came out, where it's all physics-based and you're just like weird little tiny marshmallow men trying to deliver stuff. And everything, you just drop everything and you're trying to hold on to like a hot air balloon as you've got your other arm holding the package and whatever. And that's very similar to Gang Beasts. But Resi 5, yeah, is like is a really good split of a single-player style campaign that you can do entirely in co-op.
Back when everything had co-op in it, like during the war.
I mean, like, for as much as like Resident Evil, the new ones get like chastised for being like all out action, I still really like Resident Evil 5. That was the last action-y one that I thought they still did pretty well.
There's what are they called during cutscenes? The quick time events. There are so many quick time events in that game. And last night we did get killed by Wesker. Well, let's say a lot of times when he's going global saturation and he just puts his hand through my chest and I keep missing it. And even to this day, he still does me over with it.
It's not a nice time, is it? Kirsten, what would you have for a single player? Something that you'd recommend for someone who likes single player stuff but is multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Resident Evil 5. That was one of my favourites as well. I mean, the amount of times I must have dragged people to my house to be like, play Resident Evil 5 with me. So that is a brilliant one. Highly recommend that. And just like cute little games like Overcooked is a brilliant game because it's one of those ones that is just so funny and you kind of panic and you're screaming at each other, but you're laughing. It's a brilliant one. And once this is all over as well, and you can do a bit of couch co-op, another old Wii game, which is brilliant. It's had me in stitches before when you play it with your whole family. It's Boom Blocks by Steven Spielberg game.
I love that game.
It's brilliant. I mean, the last time I played it, my dad managed to get hold of one of the little characters by accident, bless him, and he was waving it around. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was wetting myself. So yes, once we can all finally all get back together, Boom Blocks
you could technically do couch co-op if you were on two separate couches and just stayed away from each other for the whole time. But Boom Blocks was the weirdest thing because it was marketed as like Steven Spielberg's Boom Blocks, but I think he was just he was like a consultant at one point. But it's mainly just you use the Wii remotes to like pull blocks back and blast into other stuff. It's kind of like a puzzle thing. I would recommend A Way Out, which is the follow-up from Joseph Farris's game. Don't you ugh me. That game is I was going to say better than Resident Evil 5. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, Benroy. Maybe it's better.
I don't have the energy to fight this.
A Way Out is the game that you have to play in split screen. It has to be in co-op. You can do it online, but the way that you get through that game, it's, you know, you're helping each other. You're sort of trying to break out from a prison, so someone's distracting a guard from someone else, and they just go through every major genre, whether it's stealth or action or like third person shooting and whatever else. But all through co-op, and I absolutely love the way that thing's set up. It is just a single player story, but you do everything in co-op. It's really cool.
I didn't mind to crap all over on your dreams. That I did enjoy the time I played it with my friends and that. It's just there were some sections which I felt were a bit robotic and just a bit dull. But I'm sorry. And I think it ends really well, to be fair, like the ending of it. But yeah, I think it's also really good. Sorry about that. Like, ugh.
It is more than fine. That game didn't review especially well, so plenty of people will agree with you on ugh. I just tend to love it. Next question down from Chris Lickley, who says, during these strange times, how much of an impact do you think lockdowns will have on the gaming industry through gaming consumption and also through development? This kind of lines up with what Jason Schreier was saying when he was still at Kotaku, that like pretty much every game developer or game overall is going to be affected by this stuff eventually. And even this morning, we put some news out saying that Ghost of Tsushima looks like it's been pushed back to about August. So I guess it's pretty much that, but do you guys find that you're lamenting every single delay, or have you found other things to play in the meantime?
So I was, when we was doing our charity live stream, that's when Last of Us 2 was announced during that stream. I think if you go back, you can see the energy of me going,
with your heart breaking half.
It was broken in half on camera live. And as much as I know that there's reasons why, like, first of all, like, you don't want to crunch people as much, but then again, they can't put it out now because physical copies getting it to anywhere, it's just not going to happen, is it?
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm lamenting it, but at the same time, you've just got to sort of suck it up and be like, well, you'll get to play it eventually. Like, video games will return. Mm-hmm. It's more, I think this is, like we always say, this is the perfect backlog time or time to go back and do a bit more in a game you love and all that sort of thing. And that's what I'm trying to focus on, because like if we go, or if I go to the negative, like, I just want to play Last of Us 2. I played Last of Us 1 again and I want it. Then it's going to just break you down. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've taken it as an excuse to like just dive into like Game Pass and PlayStation Now and like just you know, catch up on your backlog. Like nearly everyone who plays games on a regular basis has that to play pile that we just add stuff to. Like maybe you grabbed a few games off a sale that you just got for the sake of it and you didn't get around to it. I just randomly bought Dragon Ball FighterZ on the Switch the other day because I was like, oh, that'll be cool for a train. And I was like, I can't even get onto a train, so I just have an extra copy of that game now that I can't even do anything with. But yeah, Kirsten, how have you in general been finding your time?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's definitely a few games that you kind of get annoyed by the fact that they have been delayed, but it is a brilliant opportunity to, like you said, go back, go through Game Pass, go through and rummage through your old games and just be like, right, what we got here then? Oh, I didn't know I had that. And it's also as well, like you find yourself playing games that you probably normally wouldn't, because you're like, oh right, well, I'll give this a try, oh this looks all right, I'll download this from Game Pass and stuff, and then you really do come across some like absolute gems. I mean, I've just downloaded a game, I can't remember what it's called now, but it's a horror game, never heard of it before, probably never would have even seen it if none of this was even happening, because I probably wouldn't have even, you know, gone scouring through Game Pass, and it looks absolutely terrifying, and I can see it being one of those games that I'm gonna probably end up telling all of you guys about, being like, you have to play this now, it's really scary. But yeah, so I think it's opening up a few doors, and there's probably it's going to be beneficial, I think, for a lot of sort of smaller game companies that otherwise wouldn't have had a look in this year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like the amount of stuff like on the bigger side that's been pushed back just because of the sheer scale of those games, they need more time to finish development, and they don't necessarily work remotely. Like Cyberpunk seems to be still hitting its date, but obviously Last of Us is pushed back and things relating to like distribution. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice excuse to maybe indulge in some indies that you maybe wouldn't have got to before. Next one down is from Ben Roy Turner, who apparently seems to be diving in with does video game length matter? Ben Roy, you should open this. Why does it not matter?
I think we all know why, because Resident Evil 3 came out. A little game for Resident Evil 3 is recently just hit the store shelves or hit our digital shelves or just been put for our letterbox, if you want to say like that. And it was, let's say, shorter than the average bear. It was about 5 to 7 hours to play through on the first go, and after that, as I put my playthroughs up there, you can do it in under 2 if you are either a savage or decide to have an unlimited rocket launcher. That's fun as well. But I just want to ask this because I really thoroughly enjoyed my time with that game. Of course, there's the pinch of he loves Resident Evil, but at the same time,
it's like a dollop. So yeah,
yeah. Some people, the criticism of the game was like, I never get to see the area too much, but I like how the game is so fast-paced and you're meant to have that feeling of just go, go, go. And it's not, they've cut a lot of fat at the same time from the original, but they're almost the same sort of length. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, it's like, do you so like for an Inside or something like that, or a Limbo, I love my short time games as well as like, sometimes I know I'm going to play The Witcher 3 and trying to finish that again soon. And that's going to be like, well, let's just recline a bit because this is going to be 100 hours. Let's go.
As you're like, not going anywhere for like 300 hours.
So yeah, this is me sort of like elongating and just saying, making my short question really long. Does video games? I don't know how to say that word there. Does the length matter to you? Like, if you buy a game, going in there, I want 100 hours, or are you happy with 20?
I think, okay, so what do you think? Because I've got a very long answer for this.
I think it depends on, I mean, I'm one of those people that really enjoys a good story in video games. So I think if it's got a good story, then definitely the length matters, because you just don't want it to be, you don't want to be cut off. You want to keep going. You want to keep experiencing that story. But yeah, it depends on the game. If it's not got a great story, and if it is just kind of more about action and stuff, then I don't think it matters too much. But with games like, you know, Resident Evil, which does have a pretty decent story, and games especially like the Telltale games, which I personally am in love with, they have such brilliant stories, so you don't want that to end, and you want it to keep going. And especially when it's like very episodic like that, every time each episode stops, it's like, oh, I can't wait for the next one, and that's what you're excited for, because you know there's more. But yeah, and I do think it's a little bit of you do get a bit annoyed, especially if you are spending a lot of money on a game, to then find out that it is quite short.
So you do feel
a bit cheated.
Yeah, this is like a perfect segue, because for me it's all about the money. Like, there's a certain expectation for like AAA games, or the biggest, most expensive games, that they're going to last you, I don't know, it averages out at about 15 hours, but games like The Witcher 3 obviously bump that way, way up. But yeah, for me it's money. For Resident Evil 3's case, I didn't think that was worth £50 or full price. I thought it felt more like a £20 thing. Felt like DLC to me. So it's all about price. Like, I think that Resident Evil 3 will make infinitely more sense when it's on sale for that smaller price. But it is weird, because there's all these expectations around like buying like a premium product. Like, you know, this is a full price thing at like £50-60 or dollars. And there's like an expectation. So I think that, I don't know, the length does matter, depending on how much they get out there ahead of time and say, look at what game this is and how much time you're going to be spending with it. Because they can telegraph it up front. If they made it part of their marketing, saying, look, we've kind of reused some of these assets, like, you know, don't worry, it's kind of mimicking the time frame of the 90s, and we're just, you know, it's an excuse to do some more Resident Evil, then I wouldn't have been gutted that I finished it in like 5 hours. But I think a lot of it is in communication. So I don't know, for me, it comes down to a lot of price. I mean, when was the last time for you guys that you finished something that you felt was too short?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Oh, that's
Maybe you've never had that experience. I had that with Resi 3 where I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's kind
of
it.
Gears of War 4 for me felt like it just was getting going and sort of ended. And again, I say probably Gears 5 as well, but at the same time, it's hard to detach that because I spent hundreds of hours in the multiplayer. So I think I only ever feel it's too short when I'm sort of like, I want more of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, I was missing certain segments of RE3 where I was like, oh, why weren't you there? But then again, like, this is a hard one. Like, I wasn't expecting the like, 1-2 punch of like, when was the last game you thought was too short? probably one of the Gears games, Gears 4 for me, I'd say.
Yeah, that's fair. Kirsten, do you have anything that you felt should have gone on longer, or for the most part, were you ready for things to wrap when they did?
No, I definitely think that Resident Evil 3 is probably the one that did catch me off guard, because like you said, because of the price, you expected it to be a whole new game. Mm. And so to be caught off guard with, oh, like, wait, hang on. Why am I fishing? Like, how is this? Yeah, so, yeah, I think I can't remember the last time that I've been caught off guard like that. So I think it probably was Resident Evil 3.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Next question from James Walterson, who says he's rewatched all the Last of Us 2 trailers. And this is a very lore-specific question. Any thoughts on why Ellie is wearing a gas mask now, or why is she shocked that Joel is referenced as her dad in the camp? We can very quickly go over this. Actually, Kirsten, are you a Last of Us fan?
I only played a small part of the first one, and then I think I got distracted, but my partner played the whole thing, so I ended up kind of watching it more than actually playing it.
Okay.
And I thought the story was brilliant, so I kind of experienced it more as like a movie than a game.
That's fine, because I was just thinking of spoilers, like in terms of like the Ellie thing.
It's very strange that she has a gas mask on. The only thing that I can think of is that for protection reasons, in that she doesn't want to be found out.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
Blend in that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that she's the whole point of obviously the end of the first game, that she's the only person who's immune. And I would assume that they don't want that information getting out into Tommy's camp, because then everybody will do nefarious things to procure Ellie's DNA or brain matter or whatever the Fireflies need is to make the cure. And everyone will just start doing that. Benroy, do you think the same?
Yeah, it's totally either to, if she's with people, to be like, yeah, I'm not immune. And also like the tattoos over the wrist is also another big thing of like hiding the bite mark, which she got back when she was a kid. So I think it's a combination of that, or either that, or she's hiding her identity from someone, like either hiding her ability or identity, one of the two.
It's kind of like, she's kind of got a superpower in the current the way that the world's sort of laid out. And obviously in the trailer it seems like the Seraphites or whatever the enemy faction are realize who she is, know that she's a valuable target, and whatever that scene is where it looks like they're killing Dina, but I just hope that isn't true. I guess we'll see. Next question is from you, Kirsten. You said, who was everybody's first video game crush? I'm assuming that you had someone in mind when you thought of that.
No, I just kind of panicked.
Was it Mark Cerny? Was it Phil Spencer? Was it Reggie Fils-Aimé?
See, I think to be honest, I think it probably was Wesker, because he's just so smooth. You know, he's one of those characters that he's just so difficult to hate because he's just too cool. And probably a lot of girls that would probably go straight for that. Oh, but Chris Redfield, he's so buff. And I'm just like, no, give me a bad boy.
You want to have the chains on, Mr. Matrix.
Evil genius.
You should follow him on Twitter, and because he's been doing a lot of little mini series with him living with Wesker. So the voice actor living with the character Wesker in his house.
Even Wesker was on Twitter, which would have been brilliant.
No,
it's Chris Redfield's on Twitter.
The voice actor of Wesker, he's been like doing those little mini series, and they're quite funny, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah, that's definitely
fair enough. I think me, Benroy, me and you, we grew up in the age of 90s inflato-chested women. So I don't know, yours, I think, I'm going to guess is from Resident Evil. Mine's just going to be Tifa from Final Fantasy, which is carried over to the remake, even though she looks ridiculous.
I've got the pump top of her right now. This is Jill Valentine.
Yeah.
young memory, quite liked Jill Valentine back in the day for more the reasons that she was just a strong female character and she was a sandwich. Also, I was the age of, you know, like 5 or 6. And it was, what are you going to do when you're a young boy?
You're going to check out Resident Evil, mate. It's going to make your life.
Or Tomb Raider, I guess, and poke your eyes out.
Oh, yes, that is also true.
You'll make it out alive. Next question down from Maxine Sternhorn, who says, Prince of Persia Sands of Time deserves a remake. Not a new game, but give it the Spyro treatment and it would be fantastic. Do we have any other underrated or forgotten games with unique mechanics that we feel deserve remakes or remasters? Now, I did a list on this a couple of weeks ago on, it was like game mechanics we can't believe were left to die or whatever. And I thought it's because I was playing Skate. And I absolutely love the old Skate games. But it made me think of like lots of other different mechanics where like whether it be like Burnout style takedowns or like over the top Uber tricks and SSX and stuff like that. So I don't know. I would throw in just extreme sports games, but just extreme kind of over the top games anyway, like arcade racing, NBA Street type stuff. And just have like Uber Tricks and SSX. I wish that EA would revive the EA big label and bring SSX back. Not like the one they did in 2012, but just do a, reskin SSX Tricky and just be as over the top as possible. But Kirsten, what would you have?
Well, speaking of sort of like sporty kind of games, I don't know if you ever played Jet Set Radio Station.
Yeah, but not for decades. It's like Jules' favorite game.
I had it on the original Xbox and it was one of my favorite games. So if they did a remake of that, that would be brilliant because it was quirky. It was very unique. It was kind of a little bit along with the whole skateboarding, but roller skating. And yeah, it was just, I loved the art style of it and the music was fantastic. So yeah, that would really bring back so much nostalgia if they remade that. I would be so happy.
Nice. Benroy, do you want another Resident Evil?
I mean, give me Resident Evil Outbreak series, but I was just going to try and pivot away from Resident Evil because I think every answer I've said so far is Resident Evil. If it wasn't as bad as I didn't remember it, if that makes sense, Hogs of War, but we can't do that now because that's just totally a cancelled series.
The thing is, Hogs of War, the voice acting, the comedy in that seems pretty dated, but it was lovable back in the 90s where we just sort of went with it, or the early 2000s anyway.
But Singularity, I don't know if any of you remember that game. Let me go back and rebuild some old Soviet bases or some old World War II stuff, but like maybe give it a bit of a more of a scale so you don't have, there's not one way, but you can rebuild things and go your other way in reverse time and forward time and just fight through time.
Singularity was the last thing that, or one of the last sort of shooters that Raven Software did, which is like, this game where it's almost like Bioshocky in terms of like it's very atmospheric and everything. But you're trying to remix time on the fly, and then there's a great twist at the end and whatever. But you've got it's a really good meaty first person shooter, except that you're remixing time to make things appear in front of you and different, and change the combat that way. You're sort of playing through two timelines at once. It's really cool.
Before Activision just went to Call of Duty all the time.
Do you guys want to do Call of Duty DLC for the rest of your days? Because that's all we need. Next one from Phantom Philly G, who says he's hearing rumors of the next Halo multiplayer being completely free, which feels like a trend with multiplayer first-person shooters. It's good for gamers, but is it also good for innovation and creativity? Do you feel like, I don't know, because for me, I take that as you're kind of more open to try whatever you want and offer it up for free, and it's more likely that people will dive in and try it. It just feels like something like the Battle Royale genre is just so overstuffed. But I guess, Kirsten, what do you think of, do you think free-to-play stuff gets in the way sometimes of what, I don't know, like a certain vision for a game should be?
I don't really know. I mean, I think that they sometimes can get a bad rep, but I mean, everyone likes something free, and as long as it's well done, and there aren't any bugs, then it's okay. But I mean, at the end of the day, even if there are, you know, it's free. So can you really complain when you're playing?
I guess, as well, if something's free, they have to have some other sort of monetization, like storefront or something like that, which means by default, it's probably going to have a skin store or microtransactions or something, which can kind of get in the way. But I think if something's free, at least you can give it a shot. Benroy, do you, as a lifelong Fortnite fan, what do you think?
Look, I've only put 80 hours into Fortnite, and that's because I couldn't get to PUBG, okay? But now that's not the case anymore.
So close.
I would say the problem with this free is then it's spend £20 on a nice thing you want your character to wear. I'm like, there's two things for me. I'd rather be able to earn everything, like earn like cool outfits and earn things like, say, a little charm or anything, but that's just not the case anymore. So I'd say, I don't know, nah, just pack it in with the game. Like, what's the point? No, actually, no, make it free, because if you're going to make it free and then you're going to charge people, say, like, a tenner for a nice hat, then do that. Just make it free.
I love the idea of them, like, meeting in the middle and bringing back mandated demos for everything, because we've kind of, they kind of let them go this generation. Like, I want to know what I'm playing. In the last couple of years, they've brought stuff back, but not every game is guaranteed to have a demo, which, like, I know it's hard on the dev side, but I sometimes just think that should be out there. You should know what you're buying. In theory, anyway. Next question down from actually, this is another one from a different person's name. There's a dude called Maxine Sternhorn. Thank you so much for all the questions that you submitted, but we have many from you, so we're going to dive in to someone else. This one's from Steve Perry, who says that lots of remakes are taking inspiration from the best that this generation has to offer. So, which older game do you want to see remade, but which modern game should it take inspiration from? So, his example is Spies versus Mercs from Splinter Cell, but taking inspiration from Rainbow Six Siege. So, I guess you want to think of something that is old school and apply it to the way it could be done in the modern day. Which is hard, unless Ben has something.
I've got one, because I'm going to cheat. I want Silent Hill to take inspiration from the Resident Evil 3 remake. Yeah, just give me Silent Hill, but like make it nice like Resident Evil. You know, let's do it. Let's get on it.
Fair. I think I would take Soul Reaver, but done through Dark Souls. Just take Soul Reaver, take Raziel and Kane, do that really atmospheric storytelling stuff with good meaty combat from Souls, but you have to keep the story level high. It can't be as sort of dissolute and disparate rather as Souls is, where you're sort of reading item descriptions to figure out what's going on. I kind of want like actual cutscenes and stuff like that. Kirsten, do you have any other combos, or did Benroy steal your thunder?
No, he did steal it. I do want more Silent Hill. When I was replaying Resident Evil 3 again the other day, and then I went back and I was looking at Silent Hill, and I was just like, oh, I just would so love to have Silent Hill, but like Resident Evil, just the graphics, and just it would be so beautiful. I mean, it'd be terrifying, but it would be beautiful at the same time. And yes, just more Silent. Just please, just do Silent Hill, please.
I mean, at this stage, the amount of leaks that there's been and rumors and stuff, I know they keep getting quashed and it doesn't seem like they're actually going to happen, but Silent Hill has such a bankable IP with such a massive fan base. At some point, it should come back around again. I'm going to end on the question that I had, which I initially was going to pose this at the beginning. But I basically just want to ask you guys, do you think that chasing 100% and platinum trophies and stuff is like worthwhile? Do you find it enjoyable? Because I have never done it before. I've just never bothered. I always get put off by go get 20 collectibles and go find every pigeon in GTA 4 or whatever. I just don't care. But with Final Fantasy VII Remake, because it's one of my top two of all time, I was like, I'm going to go for the platinum. And I've put about another 30 hours into that game just finding an extra dress for Aerith to put on, or just like finding an extra secret cutscene to make sure I see everything. And I think I'm having fun, but I probably could have done so much else with those other 30 hours. But Benroy, I put this over to you first, because you tend to platinum everything.
It's been a recent thing where I'm like, I just want the platinum now. If I like that game enough, I'm going to get it. In the case of The Last of Us, I would say yes and no, because they've got a crap list, even though like it's a game that like is my favorite game of all time. But it's more, you kind of have to pick the game and sort of like chart a course and say like, okay, well, if you're going to have to do it three or four times, and you just like look through it. This time I'm going to get the, like in Resident Evil 2, I did the minimal steps, no open box, under 3 hours, all in one sort of sitting, and less than 3 saves to also get more items. So it was all kind of like a walking the tightrope the whole time.
Wait a minute, one of those trophies was finishing a certain amount of steps.
Yeah, there was one in Resident Evil 2 Remake for a certain amount of steps.
That's incredible.
But I'll say for the when you said you're going back to Final Fantasy, should I say, you're enjoying it, you're going to have 30 hours. I did Death Stranding in 50 and then went back and spent another 50 platinum in it, because I just was relaxing, listening to audiobooks and podcasts and just, you know, reconnecting the world and saving the Chiral Network once again.
One bronze or silver trophy at a time. Kirsten, where do you come down on 100% completions?
Yeah, I think it's... I think, like you said, it's definitely something that's enjoyable, and you do have such a great sense of achievement afterwards. But I don't understand when people start a new game and they straight ahead go into the, I have to 100% platinum it. Like, I'm one of those people that's like I said, I love the story, so I want to go in, I want to enjoy myself, I want to soak it all in. And then once I've played it a couple of times, that's when I'm like, right, now I'll go in and I shall I'll 100% complete it. And it is, it's good. It's nice seeing, you know, sometimes you get some little achievements and unlockables, which is always good. Like, there's some secret endings and cutscenes, and it's nice to have that. But yeah, it is a little bit funny when you look back and you're like, whoa, how long did that take me to do?
3 hours wow. to get like, three tiny things. But yeah, that idea of like, because Benoit, you, as a devoted platinum chaser, have you ever gone for a platinum on a first run through? Is it always something you do after?
No, it's. I was going to say, it's much what Kirsten said. I want to play the game and enjoy it first and then sort of like eke it in and then go back to it afterwards. Like RE, the RE ones recently, I always play them through first. But I kind of look see what's coming. I won't ever do the collectible stuff first time around because always then you just ruin the experience, I feel like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I want to know as well, Scott, is this after you get this first platinum, are you going to get the taste?
I guess we'll see, because some of the late game challenges to get Seven's one is like defeating the hardest bosses in the game, stuff that does 9,999 damage, and it's just like, okay, cool, I guess I need to go find this one item that'll leave me on 1 HP so I can actually get through the fight, and that stuff I kind of just want to see the back of. But every time one of these things pops and it's like, oh, you've done all the side missions or you've found every weapon skill or whatever, I do feel the rush, I do feel the taste, I do feel like I want to get it more. So maybe, but I don't know, because like I said, I've put an extra like 35 hours into this thing just to get these little digital trophies that don't really matter.
But what about is that last chocobo really that hard to beat? Just slap it, it's fine. Like, I've heard they're just giant fat birds, right?
You're not wrong, but you've got to go find three of them, mate. They're everywhere. They've all escaped. It's a bad time. Anyway, let us know what you think down in the comments below on the, because we are on the video version now. And you can also head over to Twitter, use the hashtag WCGP to leave us different questions, and we'll dive into them in the coming weeks. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye there.
And Kirsten Rhea.
Au revoir.
I'll catch you next time. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.